Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here on a beautiful morning. Do you collect things? I used to collect flashlights. Not many. Just did. Until that cool app on the smartphone came along. And I usually have my phone with me, so I don't need to carry a flashlight any longer unless I'm working on something. Light is a gift. We have it. We use it. Without much thought most days, right? Natural light, well, that does not cost us anything. There's another light that is also a gift, and it doesn't cost us anything. And that's the light which comes from God through Jesus. And it is this light we want to spotlight this morning. So let's direct our attention to our opening hymn, hymn 551. We'll sing the first three verses. Opening hymn, as this is Saints Triumphant Sunday. Please rise as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
Lord,
Almighty God and Savior, you have set the final day and hour when we shall be delivered from this world of sin and death. Keep us ever watchful for the coming of your Son, that we may sit with him and all your holy ones at the marriage feast in heaven.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. This is the third Sunday of end time. As noted, Saints Triumphant Sunday, and our first reading comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter, where we have a reminder to hold on to what is to come, and this is what is to come. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of our Lord, and in response, we sing verses 4 through 6 of hymn 551. Dear friends, soak up a taste of what is waiting for us. Soak it up now already through God's means of grace. This encouragement from Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve them. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Verses 7 and 8 of hymn 551. Please stand for the gospel reading. From the Gospel of St. Luke, the 20th chapter, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. In Christ, you, dear friends, are alive and you are triumphant. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn in the Blue Songbook, hymn 728.
Thank you.
Grace and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is from God our Father through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to focus in on the second lesson for today from Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to read through it again. And this time, if you can, if it's not too hard on your neck, look at that last stained glass window on this side, the west side there, the last one. That is a beautiful picture, scene of what is being described here in Revelation 22. So if you can, look at that while we're hearing it again. And if you can't see it well now, well, after church, take a gander at it. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve them. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or of the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow believers, by that rock and redeemer who is the light of the world and who has given you light and called you to be light in this world, a light that will never go out by the grace of God. Where do you see yourself 100 years from now? Are you living now like you know and believe that to be true? How does your answer where you're going to be 100 years from now impact your right now, your here and now? There shouldn't be a conflict, right? Your future is bright. Do you believe that? Your future, in a sense, is now already. This is so because Jesus is your now and Jesus is your future. Jesus is the light which lights up your world now and later. And so the encouragement from the Apostle John by inspiration is to soak up the light. Jesus is your light now. He is your present. Why? And how? And how do we show that? Well, we get a reminder of why Jesus needs to be our light now because of what's going to be absent in the future. If it was absent now, he would not need to talk about it being absent in the future. What is here now is sin and its curse, the consequences of sin that we're faced with day in and day out. And sin and its consequences at times can block the light from us. But thankfully, the light, Jesus, is stronger and able to pierce the darkness of sin and its consequences. That light of Jesus is able to pierce the depression you are going through. It's able to depress the anxiety you have. Jesus is your light now already. And we need him to be that light now already because of sin and its curse. The wages of sin is death. What do we have to face while here on this earth? We have to face death. But before we get there, what else do we have to endure? We have to endure the realities of illness, of sickness, of disease, all pointing to the fact that our bodies are wasting away, which also means then that one day, unless the Lord returns first, we are going to die. And that can be a depressing thought to our human self. But to us who know Jesus is the light, death does not have to be a depressing thought because the future is right. And by the grace of God, through his means of grace, we can get a taste of the future now already. So now, dear friends, your life is bright. How so? Because Jesus is the light who did something about sin and its curse. And it's right there on that wall, a symbol of what he did. To make sure that we have light now and into eternity. He gave up his life so that we could have life. And the blood that he shed on that cross washes away each and every sin that we have done, are doing, and will do, not so that we can keep on sinning, but so that we can enjoy his light. And with his light comes the peace of the forgiveness of sins. And with this forgiveness of sins comes a new attitude of looking at life. We see how we are in the light and able to live the light, knowing that the light will never go out for us who are in Christ Jesus. How important it is to see how Jesus is our light now already, as we still here on earth have to deal with the consequences of sin. But we don't have to deal with those consequences alone, and we don't have to deal with the fact that those consequences will get the best of us, because here on earth, through Jesus and what he has won for us, the victory, we are more than conquerors now already. Romans 8. They're not just words on a page. They are words that God has given to us, sealed in Christ Jesus, so that we can live, soak up the light now already, knowing that our future is bright and that light is shining on us now already. For we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thanks be to God. John the Baptist, John the Apostle, was given this beautiful vision of what heaven would be like. Because the believers then, at his time, they needed this refreshment, and John needed it himself, and the Lord knew that we would need this refreshment as well. And it does point back to him who John the Baptist pointed to and saying, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who gives you life and light. Hear also what is waiting for us because of Jesus and what he's done for us. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. Picture yourself. And serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Do you picture yourself there? By the grace of God, you will be. And by the grace of God, you have a taste of it now already. As our text points out, that the church is going to be in the presence of God. And by the grace of God, we are the church. And in the presence of God is healing. There is healing now through the victory that Jesus has won for us, and that healing will be completely lived in and enjoyed once we're in the presence of God in heaven. How does that impact your life now? How are you showing that you know and believe that Jesus is your light and you are able to soak him up now already, knowing what he has for you in the future? Well, when someone is facing death, we all are in a way, but for some it becomes more evident. They'll be meeting their maker soon. What can you say to that person? What hope can you remind them of? Where should the focus be? Sometimes when people are on death's bed, they ask, have I done enough? Can I be sure I'm going to get there? Well, what can you tell them? Well, I don't know. Does that offer them hope? Is that the right thing to say? You know what to say. Christ did it all for you already. That's why Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Not that we do anything to hasten it, but when it comes, we don't have to rebel and say, Lord, not yet. But bring it on, because the future is bright, and we got a foretaste of that future now already. When someone is going through a hard, difficult time, what can you remind them of? Stinks to be you? No. All things God works out for the good of those who love him. God can use this too to remind us that our future is bright and we're able to see the future now already. Soak up the light. And that's what we're doing right now by the grace of God. We're in his presence with our fellow believers, soaking up the light who is Jesus Christ as we hear his word, as we partake of his sacrament. Who do you hope to see? Who are you waiting to see when you go through the gate of heaven? What a reunion that will be. Who do you want to see in heaven? But they're still living here on earth now. What are you doing about that? As much as it depends on you. Every day, don't we? We get opportunities to not only soak up the light ourselves, but to direct others to the light through our words, through our actions. Do people know what we believe, and do they see that we live and act like we believe it? That doesn't mean we're not going to have down days, anxious moments ourselves, but how we react to those down days and how we react to those anxious moments, that's what they see. Always be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have. Speak the truth in love. Continually soak up the light who is Jesus. Because in Jesus our present is bright, and in Jesus our future is definitely bright. So where do you see yourself 100 years from now? Soak up the light now. The light that says your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. And so, dear friends, get ready to soak up that light in heaven. Your future is bright. And your future is in view now already. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is our light. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. They begin on page 8. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
pray. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest us, nor should we aught withhold, dear Lord, from you. In love our souls would bow, our hearts fulfill its vow. Some offering bring you now, something for you. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings which we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank you for your saving word and for your Son's body and blood, which you give us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, you send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth.
Strengthen us through this heavenly food. Increase our trust in Christ and our love for one another.
Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace, and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives. Lord, as you are the physician of body, mind, and soul, we commend to your care Daniel Johnson, who remains in need of medical attention, Jim Washburn and Nicole Cordova, who will be having surgery this week, and David Scultetti, who is dealing with ongoing health challenges. Grant healing to their bodies and refresh their faith. Thank you for keeping your promises, which is why we can confidently come before you with our prayers. As Aaron Cummins and Everett Leibolt look forward to their wedding next weekend, help them grow in a relationship with you, which in turn can bear fruit in their relationship with each other. Fill their life together with countless blessings. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith, and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He protects and preserves his church in every age and gives us confidence to lift up our heads and watch for Jesus with joy. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. Now may this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting, growing with for him in peace and in joy. You are the true God.
We now turn our attention to the hymn 346, In You Is Gladness. Please stand for our closing prayer. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord,
that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Day that will be a day we can foretaste now already, thankfully. Just to highlight a few things, special welcome to our guests among us this day. We're glad you're here. If you haven't stopped by the Welcome Center yet today, please do so. There's information about our mission and purpose here at St. Mark's. Bible studies taking place today. We just have the one for the book of Galatians taking place here in the church sanctuary from the ground up. We'll start again next week. So keep that in mind. And then we have the teens and Sunday school classes taking place as normal. Mr. Nathan Rich, the person we extended a call to serve as principal starting next school year, he has now returned that call. He wishes us God's blessings as we go forward. And there's some challenges and opportunities at his current place of service. And so we thank the Lord that he considered the call diligently, and we ask the Lord to bless his work where he's at in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Mr. Brett Mingle, who was extended a call to serve at principal at St. John's in Caledonia, Minnesota, has returned the call, and will continue to work among us, so we're thankful for that news. Keep both places and all the work that we do as brothers and sisters in Christ in your prayers. Just a reminder, Christmas for Kids, the one-day VBS, is scheduled for the day after Thanksgiving. You can find out more about that online or in the weekly news. Financial statements for 2019, the third quarter, are available on the shelf there next to the food. So use your nose. You'll find the financial statements there as well. If there are discrepancies between your records and our records, please contact Linda Haffel. And we'll get that taken care of. See the weekly news for other important and worthy items that are taking place, activities and so forth, including our Thanksgiving worship service and also the midweek Advent services that are coming up. And then to leave you with a note from our Board of Stewardship, it's that quarterly update time. So Chuck Klinker is here to give us an update.
Thank you. Don't you just love that last hymn? It reminds me that in the 30-some years I've been here, this is a congregation of singers. Such wonderful, beautiful voices. What a beautiful hymn. Well, Board of Stewardship. You know, we are charged with both encouraging St. Mark's membership and our giving back of our time, talents, and treasures to support God's work here and in the mission field. We also are responsible to let you know how things are going from time to time. Last July, I reported that we had finished the fiscal year on June 30th well, with offerings essentially on budget and on an upward trend. I noted that the coming year would be tight, so we hoped that our upward trend would continue. To be conservative, we budgeted offerings for this fiscal year at the same pace as last year's. Well, let me begin this message of encouragement with some discouraging news. For whatever reasons, the first 3 months of the fiscal year are approximately $35,000 below last pace, and that lower pace has continued. So far, we have been able to pay the bills, but are beginning to have to borrow internally from other designated funds to do that, and that process cannot continue. So offerings need to get back to last year's pace. So now for the encouragement. I encourage us as follows. Number one, if some of us have fallen behind in our offerings, let's get caught up if finances allow. Number two, let's up our regular offerings if we can do that and also have the desire to do that. And number three, we will need some over and above offerings from those who are able and motivated to overcome the first 3 months deficit in offerings and also repay those internal loans. As I mentioned, I've been a member of St. Mark's for over 30 years, and we have had these types of situations before. Every Wells congregation goes through these types of things, and God has always brought us together and motivated us to come through, growing stronger through the process. I'm confident that he will do so again. So thanks again for your continued support of our ministry here at St. Mark's, and please take the time to greet one another.